Hello and welcome to the third instalment in our podcast series on mental health and wellbeing. In this session, we'll be speaking to Lucy Tallon, Head of Mental Health and Wellbeing at the Film and TV Charity. She'll be discussing the work the charity undertakes to support people across the film and television sector and the impact of the pandemic and their future work. Over to you, Lucy.
Hello, my name's Lucy Tallon and I'm Head of Mental Health and Wellbeing at the Film and TV Charity. I joined the charity in June 2019 as Programme Development Manager, before the programme actually had a name. And at that point, we were undertaking this big piece of research to find out what the mental health issues were in the industry, how severe they were, and what was causing them. That was a piece of research called The Looking Glass, which many people may have, listening to this, may have heard about, because over 9,000 people took part, which was quite a staggering number. So we really felt like the industry had spoken. We took those findings and in response to them, we developed a programme called the Whole Picture Programme. We consulted with all sorts of subject experts and academics and people in other industries to develop a programme that would really holistically address all the different issues that we'd come across and be part of a sustainable long-term plan for effecting change in the industry. I am now Head of Mental Health and Wellbeing, so I've got a slightly broader role looking after the mental health impact of the charity's other programmes and services. But I'm still very much involved day to day in the Whole Picture programme. It's our flagship mental health programme. And I'm also leading the working group as part of that programme on bullying and collective accountability, because we found that bullying was one of the primary causes of poor mental health in the industry. I've been working in the space where telly or the media meets mental health for quite a while in one shape or another. Prior to this, I was working at Mind as a senior media advisor, working with producers, TV, film, but other sections of the media as well, who either want to tell a story about mental health or investigate and explore a mental health issue in more depth. So a lot of that work was around destigmatizing issues and making sure portrayals were accurate. And I would also help support vulnerable contributors if they were taking part. I have worked for an employee wellbeing company, so I understand coming at the workplace wellbeing agenda from that sort of corporate side of things. For many years, I worked at Comet Relief, where they fund a lot of work around mental health as well. And I've been commissioning as well in BBC Entertainment. So quite a lot of that sort of crosses over. But I think probably the most important thing to know about me is that I've got a long, glorious history of depression and anxiety myself. So I know just what it's like to have a mental health problem. I've been well for the last few years, touch wood, but I feel very strongly about these issues. And I can empathise with people who are going through them. I have plenty of friends in and without the industry and family members who go through this sort of thing. And I feel very passionate about destigmatising the issues and actually coming up with things that can really make a difference, that can help you in your day-to-day life. I'd like to tell you a little bit more about the Whole Picture programme. So it's a two-year programme that's actually part of a 10-year sustainable plan. It's funded to the tune of £3 million by the big employers in the industry. So that's the broadcasters, a couple of film studios and production companies, Amazon, and we've got others coming on board all the time. And it is very much a programme created by the industry, with the industry, for the industry. So it's not something that we're doing on our own, which is why it takes quite a lot of sort of careful coordination and has been planned out very methodically. That may mean that it's delivered not quite as quickly as people would like, but it means that we're trying to bring people with us and make sure that we have the input from all points of view. We have various working groups and other methods for people to get involved. And through those, we involve a lot of freelancers. We work with all the industry bodies and we try and support and align our work alongside other industry bodies' work as well. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. So where other people are doing work that will contribute to the ultimate aim of improving mental health in the industry, we will just throw our resources behind that. There are five main outputs that people will see from this programme, the Whole Picture programme, over the 2 years. The first is pretty straightforward. It is increased support for individuals, particularly freelancers, I suppose, who don't have access to the benefits that employees might have via their employee assistance programme or similar benefits. So we already have at the moment our support line, and that's the main way to access our support services. But we will be looking to enhance that over the next 2 years. Currently, you can ring and speak to anyone at any time of day or night. There will be a listening ear. Just that is extraordinary in itself. But you can also access our Tier 2 services, so you can be referred for counselling for CBT. Get up to 6 sessions of free CBT with a therapist, which is actually much quicker than you get it on the NHS. Have bereavement counselling. You can be referred for legal advice, financial debt advice, and to talk to the charity about our range of financial support grants and awards. But we will be adding new services to that. The other element of support we'll be adding ourselves is looking to boost peer support in the industry, because we know that support that people have from their peers is often the one thing that can get them through a really difficult time. And levels of isolation and loneliness are actually very high in the industry, and they were even before COVID. And in many respects, it's been quite polarizing. Some people have become even lonelier. So we are really doing some detailed research to look at who is feeling particularly lonely, how they can be connected, what groups are out there already that we can support. And we will be doing everything we can to really sort of foster that sense of industry community and help people connect and communicate, putting some quite significant resource behind that. Another thing we'll be doing is what we call the behaviour change campaign. I've learned as part of the process that behaviour change is quite a fascinating science, and it's basically about marketing and messaging. So we will be making a lot of noise about mental health and encouraging everybody in the industry to take part and to talk about mental health, to talk about their fears, about why they don't want to talk about mental health, why it hasn't worked in the past, to celebrate those people, those colleagues, those line managers who have really supported them through difficult times. So there will be a lot of activity on social media with a hashtag. There will be things for people to get involved in. We will see some really great examples of senior leaders acting as role models, talking about the kind of workplace and values that they believe in, and the kind of the culture that they want to foster on their in their workplaces and more broadly amongst the community. I think a lot of people will feel that there is quite an old school culture and a narrative of kind of toughness, and you know, you've got to be cut out to work in this industry, and you don't talk about this kind of thing or that, and if you do, there will be consequences. And in order to really address that deep-rooted culture, which is industry-wide, you need to take an industry-wide solution. So this is something that needs to really cut across the whole industry. That should be hitting your social media feeds and inboxes in the spring. We're looking at mental health training and the kind of people skills that underlie the sorts of issues that often lead to mental health problems. So we're coming up with some recommendations to make sense of kind of all the different types of mental health training that's out there, what's appropriate for everyone, how best to access that training. And similarly with the kind of people skills, how they could be built into line manager training and the kind of skills that people need in order to protect their own mental health when doing their work, for example, when working with vulnerable contributors. We're working on what we're calling a toolkit for mentally healthy productions. So this one is obviously aimed at people who work in production. And it's a way to look at the kinds of things that can be done at the beginning, during and after a production in order to promote good mental health and a really healthy working environment for those people on that production. So that will be looking at sort of HR practices. It will be looking at mental health support, what the appropriate level of mental health support is, and other kind of practices such as HR. So that will be looking at making appropriate mental health risk assessments, providing suitable levels of mental health and wellbeing support to all the right people involved in the production. It's not necessarily offered to everyone, even if they do interact or come across quite a lot of issues during filming. It will be looking at different types of HR practice that can have an impact on the kind of production, the kind of workplace it is. So things around employment practices, flexible working, and really making sure that communication, those channels are established early on between the management, the commissioners, the senior management, the line manager, and that things are really as open and healthy as they can possibly be. And it will be looking at things like bullying and harassment as well to make sure that that is just not possible anywhere on set, and that there are processes in place for dealing with those sorts of things if it arises. And as importantly, that people feel safe to use those processes if necessary. And that brings me on to the fifth thing, which people will be able to see, which is the set of resources we're producing to support people who have experienced bullying or harassment, and indeed to support those who've witnessed it as well. So the key factors that have been causing the most stress to people during the pandemic is something I get asked about quite a lot. It'll be no surprise to anyone really that primarily, and this is the same in response to any kind of emergency, the key concern and stress and worry is around your physical and social safety and well-being. So that's talking about your financial situation, being able to put food on the table, keep a roof over your head, that your family are safe and well. And that's always going to be the most stressful thing. We have done quite a lot to try and support people with those things. Interestingly, calls to our support line shot up when we went into lockdown. In fact, I think in the first month we had as many calls to the support line as we'd had in the previous year. But referrals for counselling actually took a while to see that sort of increase. They went up probably to about four times their average level, but not until about October last year. So it's quite interesting to think about the delayed impact of that, whether that means there'll be a sort of a delayed impact further down the line later this year as well, something we'll have to wait and see. But actually in December 2020, was the first time that calls about emotional support overtook the number of calls about financial support to the helpline, which was really interesting. In terms of the work-related worries that we've been seeing, we did run a smaller survey, so just a couple of thousand people responded, but it was very telling in September 2020. And the key thing that came out as their top work-related worry was the insecurity of work. But really interestingly, the thing that came out second was the impact of COVID-related changes on people's ability to do their job well. This thing about, very obviously, the COVID protocols interfering in people's lives, particularly work and production, physically getting in the way. But also for all of us, I think, that added pressure that it brings, whether you're working from home, whether it means your role has changed slightly, whether you've had to take on someone else's role, whether it means that the team has absorbed, be restructured. It's incredibly stressful. And people in this industry really care about their work. Often, actually, it's part of what makes up their identity. And not being able to do your job and not being able to take pride in your work is incredibly frustrating and quite damaging to mental health. I think that's very interesting and important to bear in mind. We talked to a lot of industry employers and to the industry bodies, and the kind of feedback that we're getting about the issues that have caused mental health problems as well, sort of anecdotally. I think back in the summer, there was quite a bit of concern from freelancers about lack of communication from employers. I think often everyone was just scrambling, trying to work out what to do. But it's all too easy sometimes to say nothing when you haven't actually got an update to share. And in a time of uncertainty, people will just expect the worst and read into that all their sort of worst fears. There's been a national pattern, which I think has probably been replicated within our industry, of issues around increased reliance on drug and alcohol. There's been real pressure on relationships. There have been incidents of bullying and harassment have continued, and in fact have taken new forms, I'd say, actually, as the boundaries between home and work get ever more blurred. And when, since people have gone back to production, we've been hearing about, you know, extra stresses about shift patterns, about night work, especially since the weather has changed. It's become really difficult. Things that might not seem like a huge deal, but really make a difference to the sort of quality of life, quality of working life, like not being able to have catering. You know, an army marches on its stomach, they say, and I think often a production team does as well. But, you know, underlying this is always the uncertainty about the future, not feeling able to speak up. They have that many freelancers feel like they don't have a position where they can push back or negotiate. They have to take whatever is there. And it's a very stressful time. And of course, recently, since we've gone back into another lockdown, many more parents in the industry are working from home, trying to juggle homeschool. And speaking as a parent myself, I know how difficult that is. With our strategic partner, Mind, who advises us on all our side of mental health things, I know that that's something that they have flagged up as a growing concern, the increasing amount of stress and worry for working parents at the moment. So what we at the Film and TV Charity have done over the last year to try and alleviate some of that mental health worry and mental well-being concern was, first of all, we've tried to address the financial well-being. As I said, that is the primary concern. And the industry has been absolutely amazing and has come together. And we raised over £5 million in a just a few months last year and distributed that amongst more than 3,000 individuals in the industry. I find that still quite extraordinary, and I'm so proud of all the people who were part of that. We also had a scheme of community grants, which is where we gave money to people who were really working in the grassroots with different pockets of the community, different BAME communities or different types of role or sections of the industry, and to help people connect and communicate and just stay in touch. And that actually, I'm really proud of those, that boosted mental well-being enormously, even if it was just buying a Zoom license for a group of, 20 people to stay in touch. It made a real impact on people's lives. We purchased access for the whole industry to a really fantastic mental health online platform called Togetherall. This is part of our community support work and in terms of producing resources that can help people with peer support and self-help. But we felt that people really needed help quickly with their mental health in this kind of area. So we purchased access to this service. It's actually available to anyone who works in the industry, but also anyone who's in your family or your immediate household as well, because I think we all know that some days, particularly more than others, your mental health depends on your mental well-being, depends on the mental health of the people nearest to you. And so it seems perfectly correct that they should have access to those resources as well. So there's an online community there, which is completely anonymous, where you can go and talk about your feelings, whatever kind of day you've had. But there are some really good self-help guided courses there on all sorts of subjects, such as managing anxiety, trying to sleep better, give up smoking, assertiveness, that sort of thing, and even some self-assessment tools so you can just keep track, see if this is something that you should perhaps be worrying about, should you go to the doctor, is it something that actually you're doing really well, keeping under control. They're great resources, and I do recommend that you go and take a look at them via our website. We have written quite an extensive section on mental wellbeing advice. We've got a web page on our website. It's based on Mind's advice, but we've tailored it to the industry so that to make it really seem much more accessible and appropriate for those people who work in the industry. And there are lots and lots of links there to other resources and other things going on around the industry. And we've also made sure that our counselling can be accessed by video call. Pre-pandemic, the options were to have it on the phone or in person, and most people opted for in person. And there's a network of counsellors all around the country, but obviously at the moment video counselling is something that is really important. But looking forward, what I would really like to talk about is what's coming down the line from the whole picture programme and what's coming next. I mentioned earlier that we were still hearing plenty of evidence about the incidents of bullying and harassment in the industry. And that's why I'm excited to be able to announce that at the beginning of March, we'll be launching some new services to support people who have experienced or witnessed bullying. The first of these is our bullying advice service. This is an expert advisor who you will be able to contact via our support line and be able to get an appointment with. She is there to listen to you and to hear you out and to really be able to help someone understand what their options might be and how to navigate those options. So it's really empowering someone in order to navigate the situation for themselves. She has industry experience of many years counselling experience, and we are training her so that she has legal knowledge, really up-to-date understanding of HR practices within the industry, and bringing that kind of combination of skills and knowledge, HR, legal, counselling, industry experience, and tailoring that into one personalised service that anyone can access completely free of charge, completely confidentially, is something that I think I'm really proud of it. It's quite a pioneering service. If you look at quite a lot of other industries, if they do have a bullying line, it will often just take you through to the EAP, so you end up speaking to a counsellor, or it will take you through to a legal advisor. But to have that combination of skills and knowledge in one person, I think could be really useful for some people. And she will from there also be able to signpost people to all the other places of support and help around the industry. The other resource is a digital incident record tool called Spot. Put very simply, this is just a place that you can go to make a note of things that have happened, either to you or things that you have witnessed as well. Very often people just don't know what to do if they've witnessed something. This is what you should do. Jot it down, then you've got a record for later. It is a really great place to record things. the way that it asks the questions and captures the info through a sort of AI chatbot means that you capture, and it's a very specific number, 29% more detail than is on average captured if someone just makes a note of things themselves, or even if they are asked questions in an interview, because they ask the right questions at the right moment to prompt you to make sure you capture the date, all the sort of relevant details, which you can imagine if you are going to rely on them later, you need to be really clear about whether it was Tuesday or Wednesday and which location you were at. So this is something that is there to make a private record for you. So you can't submit this record to anyone else. There's no button you can press. Not even anyone at the charity will see what you've written. It's purely for you, but you can keep a record. And if you wish to send that privately to someone else, then you can do so. But it is there as much to help you capture what happened as to help you reflect on that. And it's, I think that's where the real sort of enhanced value comes in. So you can upload photos and emails and all that sort of thing, keep it in the same place. You get a dashboard and you can identify patterns of behaviour when you can see, okay, this happened on this date, that's that. You've got the information right in front of you. Does that count as sexual harassment? Is that maybe actually that's something that I need to look at and really talk to the team about? Maybe this is something not just about me. And you can start to sort of look at the cumulative impact of things, and you can reflect and process your thoughts. And we know that so much damage is done to people's mental health by ruminating, by turning it over and over in their mind. And actually, by the time they talk to someone about it or take any kind of action, the damage has been done and they will have moved on from the incident. They may have even left the industry. And this is really meant to be a tool to help you right in the moment. If you don't know what else to do, this is at least something you can do. It gets you going on your journey. It helps you get it out there, get it in one place, help you maybe get a bit of a rest in your mind and a bit of clarity. And it could be the first step towards taking action. And that doesn't mean action necessarily of escalating something. It can be action about contacting the bullying advisor, who can then help you with maybe with some tips and techniques about how to have a conversation with a line manager, how to informally de-escalate things, the kinds of sort of courses you might want to go on yourself. It's really about what is going to be right for you, what is going to be right for the individual in that situation. And backing all that up, so if you go to our website to access or find out about either of these, there will also be a directory of links to places across the industry where you can also go for information and advice. But it's all really about how to support the individual.
Thank you, Lucy. That was really useful information. And it's great to see the charity doing such amazing work for people in the sector, particularly freelancers. In our next episode, we'll be chatting with Mick Burgess, who has been working with the Association of British Theatre Technicians around themes of mental health.